All right, so welcome to episode 167 of the Black and Fashion Podcast. Now, y'all, this is episode a long time coming. But we were just talking off camera, and we was like, you know what? Everything aligns like when it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. So this is Melanie. She is an amazing fashion designer. I want to say, and I could be wrong, but I feel like your concentration is like on evening wear and like special occasion.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm right. Yes. All right.
But and it's funny, it didn't always...
And yeah. I always do that. We're going to get that. So before I start any episode, I like to do this little segment. It's called This or That. So you just tell me what you do over the other. Okay.
Okay.
So,
I love that.
All righty. So halter neck or sweetheart neckline?
Sweetheart.
Sweetheart. Okay.
Yes.
Flare leg or boot cut?
Boot cut.
Boot cut.
Okay. Unless it's a print, then I may do flare.
See, no, ain't no if
okay,
it's a
okay,
print.
Okay, so okay, okay, okay.
Ain't no, I mean, ain't no, it's a print. Weaves or wigs?
Which one is that?
Weaves or wigs?
Weaves, baby.
Okay, yeah, girl, because I cannot do the lace front shot.
Here's the thing, don't get me wrong, I love a good wig when it's, like, laid properly, but I really love my edges, and I think a lot of these, like, new
I love my edges.
Don't care about your edges, so they're just slapping things on their head, so I'm like, I went back to
Yeah, not that glue and shit. Yeah, I never had one, but I was just like, every time I see it, I'm like, because I was like, what lace? And I'm always just like,
that lace!
The one that's on your head.
Right here.
All right, this is the last way.
Okay.
If you had, and this is, although this is hard, lashes or brows? Only one, though.
It has to be brows.
You rushing. You in a hurry.
It has to be brows.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So tell us a little bit about where you're from, how you grew up, where you grew up, and when that little fashion bug bit you. Cheers again on camera.
Yes.
Melanie brought drinks. Don't nobody ever bring drinks.
Take
we drink afterwards.
Yeah. So I'm from North New Jersey, born and raised. My family's from Liberia, West Africa.
Okay.
So
Yes,
I am.
Okay.
My father is half Ghanaian and half Liberian, so I have a little bit of Ghanaian in there, but I mostly claim LIB, so shout out to any Liberian people that are on a check-in.
Okay.
What was the other question?
When that fashion bug bit you. When you started sewing, when you got into the brand, you know, did grandma teach you? I feel like I get a lot of those.
No. So actually, I went to Tuskegee University. Shout out to all HBCU people also.
Yes.
Plug that in.
She went to Howard.
Okay, HU. So my sophomore year, I joined this organization called Riverview Modeling Troupe. So I really was just like on the modeling tip. I wasn't thinking about fashion at all. Mm. And again, I was a psychology major. I just want to throw that out there again.
Really?
Yes.
But fashion is mass psychological.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're doing shows. I'm walking, et cetera, et cetera. And something was like, you know, I really bang with this fashion thing. I like it. Like, I don't have issues standing in front of crowds. Like, this is my calling.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't really pinpoint what it was that I wanted to do. But I think about my third year there, I started taking business classes. I'm like, okay, maybe I know I want to do fashion, but I don't know what. But let me learn how to, like, do business, like the business component.
Okay.
I called my mom. I'm like, listen, I know I came here for psychology, but I really want to do fashion. And my mother was not having that. You know, I'm first generation. So coming here, like, all the pressure is on you, on your child to, like, succeed. And at that time, creativity wasn't something that people could think you could really get paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So I graduated with my degree. And then when I came home, I started taking, like, sewing lessons because I didn't get into SCAD. I found out, like,
they didn't let you in?
No.
So they didn't let me in either. I tried to go to get my master's.
Same.
There.
That's what I did. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
That's
they
what
I did.
Like, they didn't let me in.
Why was I so offended though? Like,
I was really offended. But looking back, I see why, because the pieces that I sent to them were trash.
Okay.
But in my mind, I was just like, I'm already down here. It's gonna be like a quick transition. But yeah, I found out, like, I graduated on a Sunday, I found out on Friday that I did not get accepted. So I had to pack all my stuff and come back home, and I was just like,
was
so depressed.
Oh.
Right, so that's why I was like, it was gonna be an easy transition for me.
Right, okay.
Not so much. So yeah, I came home, took sewing classes, and a year later I applied to Parsons and got in.
That's what's up, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck SCAD. No, let me not say that.
It's their loss, though.
Let me not say that. I don't, you know what, I'm glad they did not let me in because I was here already. Mm-hmm. But it was hard for me when I first got here. And I was just like, honestly, I was like, fuck this New York shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm about to move to Atlanta. I'm about to go to SCAD and I'm going to get a master's in. But I didn't even go for design. I was trying to go for education because I always wanted to teach. And they wouldn't even let me into that program. I'm like, damn, what's going on? But God. It made me, you know, I told you that it just takes one person to like.
That's it.
One person to believe in you.
That's it.
My high school teacher told me, she's like, Lanice, you're giving up on New York too fast. She was like, Lanice, go talk to my cousin. He got his fashion thing going on. But you know when you hear that, mm-hmm. you always kind of like skeptical. Like, mm-hmm.
Everybody got a friend, right?
Everybody got a fashion thing going on. And she had never mentioned him before. So I was just like, whatever. Mm-hmm. She had already told me that. Girl, finally when I went to go see him, the man had his own, black man, got his own studio in the garment district. Mm. Selling fucking bags and outerwear to Macy's and Look by himself. And I was just like, and he's like, well, I really can't afford you. I'm paying for this space and I've been doing everything on my own, but I want to help you out. And I worked for him for 6 months. He's like, well, we're going to put on your resume that you've been working here since you've been in New York.
See how that is?
Whole time. I was just like, and I was trying to get away from my nigga at that time. So that worked out really good because I got my little deposit money mm-hmm. and I moved to Harlem because mm-hmm. I was out in Long Island. And I'm just like, I didn't get into SCAD. It worked out. Mm-hmm. I got a job. Mm-hmm. I ended up getting my own apartment. I'm just like, just stay in New York, girl. So mm-hmm. it worked out. So tell me a little bit about your inspiration. So do you only make women's clothing? Is there something in particular that inspires you? Or do you get inspired like as you go? Like how what does your design process look like?
So let's just say I have a show coming up. I usually make a playlist. Again, my name is Melody. My mother wasn't, she's really into music, so I got the name Melody, but I really pull my inspiration from music.
Okay.
So, like, Future is one of, like, my great people that I listen to. I know a lot of people,
I love Future. I don't like his personal life, but I love his music.
Right. I can separate the artist from the
person. Same way I feel about R. Kelly.
Right. And even that, I feel like he's very open about who he is, so you as a person have to decide. But anyway, I just like to listen to hustlers when I'm in hustle mode.
Right.
But I listen to a lot of African music, of course, because that's my culture. Tims. And I always feel like as I'm sewing, I'm like...
You like Tims?
Yes, I do love Tims.
I play Tims in the studio all the time when we sew. It's like so soothing for everybody. Mm-hmm. And then we just be like...
Yeah, I'm not doing the soothing African music. I'm doing the like, we really in the like trenches. Like that's what,
really?
Yeah, that's okay. What I'm really into.
Okay.
So I listen to a lot of Afro beats. Caribbean music, anything that like, sometimes I'm like, wait, you're supposed to be sewing, but it's a party. So I'm like having fun as I'm sewing because the clothes that are coming down the runway, like how does the model look? Is the clothes moving as she walks? Like those are all the things that I envision when I'm sewing. Mm-hmm. I say this every year that I'm going to do menswear and I really want to, but I really enjoy doing women's wear.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. You don't, I feel like, I feel like as a designer, you tell me if you feel the same mm-hmm. way, though. It's always somebody going to be like, you should make this, you should make that, you should make this.
Always.
And somebody else tell me I should come out with this. I don't want to. That's not my target consumer.
And here's the thing. If you want to do it, then you do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what do you do, like, when you're in a situation, because you do a lot of custom, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do, and, like, what is your process? Because, you know, I feel like the custom wear designer world, it can be so crazy. And then sometimes it's really, really hard to please people. But also, you might get a picture or image of something. They ain't got that body type.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're looking at a fabric and you're guessing what it might be because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's a picture. How do you navigate through like trying to create something from a photo as inspiration? And then I don't know if you ever had a situation where someone put it on it and they weren't happy. Or mm-hmm. they were just like, this is like, well, you don't look like them. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had anything like that?
So I try to be very upfront, like once we start the design process. And a lot of the times when people ask me to make something, I let them know, like, I only make things that I design. So if you haven't seen it in my portfolio, then I'm not going to make it.
I'll hear that.
And a lot of the times you can, like, I mean, maybe because we're privy to that information because we are designers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like most people tag who the designer is. So just go directly to the, you know, the designer and let them make it for you. Because I feel like it's so disrespectful to, I see your design and now I'm going to put my spin on it. It's like, no, like, make your own thing.
Right.
So I very, 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 I'm just like, I'm custom. This is what you see, what you get.
Okay.
And also, like, as a woman, you want your customer or your friends or whoever to feel comfortable with what they have on.
Absolutely.
So I would let them know, like, I don't think that would work, or maybe let's try something else. But I'm very upfront because I don't want that at the end that you were expecting something and it looks totally different.
True. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But custom is a beast.
I can, girl.
It really is.
I've been out that world for a couple of years now. I don't. Mm-hmm. The last custom piece I think I made was in 2016. Mm-hmm. Outside of my mom asking me to make her a tracksuit a couple months ago, mm-hmm. and my sister asking me to make her a coat, which it took me into 2024 to make anything for my mother and my sister.
Okay,
I don't make shit for my family because they don't like to pay.
It's not for me. It's not about the paying, but I feel like it's a extra pressure, and my mother always gets upset. It's like, girl, I love you. Like, I would make things for you, but it's just that if I'm in, like, design mode or creative mode, like, I want to be in there. But when you do custom, it's just like, almost right? feels like yeah. people, like, I don't have that with all customers, but some customers, they almost feel like they own you. Once they pay the deposit, and once they put that money down.
Girl, who you
like,
telling?
If I say that it's going to take 4 to 6, well, how long it's going to take, I'm going to do that. But when it's like, oh, so how's it going? And what are you doing? And blah, 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 blah. It's just like.
You ain't my only customer.
It goes past, like, professionalism. It's almost like.
Gotcha. So, yeah. I got two ways for you to combat that, though, from me. First of all. I'm pretty sure you have a contract in place or whatever. Mm-hmm. I not only have a contract, I have a client handbook. The client handbook says how I work, and they have to acknowledge and sign that to me. I don't work after these hours between these times. If you want to update on your project, you can go view your timeline inside of the portal because I update them every 2 weeks. So it's like, I used to get those or whatever, but I kept going through, like, and I feel like in business, as we go through all these different emotions of things that irritate the shit out of us, we get to a space where we make ourselves work for us. I very rarely get emails like, oh, what's going on? What's happening? Check your timeline. And then when I do get one, check your timeline. Mm-hmm. But I use HoneyBook, and HoneyBook puts it in. And even if the timeline is wrong, well, I forget to update it. I go in there, update it, like, check your timeline.
I mean, as I was driving here, somebody commented in the pictures like, oh, I just DM'd you. Oh, I just emailed you.
Oh, and I don't do DMs.
And it's just like, I think also, because social media, you feel like you're so accessible to people, so they feel like they could just, like, reach out to you, mm-hmm. and whatever, and that's cool, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, like, you don't know what headspace that person is in. A lot of people don't know that I do have a 9-to-5. Like, mm-hmm. I have a full-time position that's outside of fashion, mm-hmm. and then I have my fashion job or career that is mm-hmm. also full-time.
Right.
So I can't always be, like,
at your beck and call.
Yeah.
Right. Parameters. So, mm-hmm. I would do like a client hand, but like this is how. Because I think one thing I learned in retail management was training your customers. Mm-hmm. This is something my district manager used to say to me. She was like, "You got to train people how to work with yeah. you sometimes." Mm-hmm. And I think that's how I got into that space of being like, "Okay, let me figure out what's gonna work best for like my lifestyle and what I like." And I know when you a one woman show,
girl.
You be ready to pull your hair out sometimes. Like, oh, people leave me alone. But I've also learned how to check people in the most respected way. A girl hit me up today and started asking me about a piece or whatever on my personal page. I said, hey, please keep all inquiries to the LC page via email. Do not bring. I didn't say it like that, but I was just like, I do not accept personal inquiries on my personal page. Why are you over here? And now you're the girl that has been asking me multiple questions for about a year now.
Mm.
Everything
but
you need to know is on the website.
But I bet you send an invoice, it'll be like, hello, is anyone
this
there?
Girl, and I think it's kind of crazy. This girl even asked me to help her fundraise so that she can work with me. And I was just like, baby.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Asked me to help her with her GoFundMe. GoFundMe.
So work with you.
She asked me, she said, can you help me set up a GoFundMe? Can't you help yourself set up a GoFundMe? Like, I'm not no expert at fundraising. Like, it'd be like the request be wild, crazy. Mm-hmm. And respectfully, ma'am. Sorry, I got this little one-liner. Sorry, I don't cover that rim of services.
Oh, I like
and that's
that.
It. I don't cover that realm of service. Or when my sister told me, like, when your friends and your family tried to tell you what you should be designing, oh, I'm sorry, that doesn't currently fit with what my mission is.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't fit with my mission. Like, simple, like, one-liners or whatever. Because you get into this mindset, and you was really sitting about thinking about doing a men's wear line because people have said it to you over and over. But if it's not there, it's just not there.
And I've done pieces for, like, weddings and things like that. And I really do, eventually, I will get into menswear because I love men fashion. Mm-hmm. I love the tailoring of it. I just love how suits fit them. It's just chef's kiss.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, as I'm sewing everything, mm-hmm. I feel like I just want to stick to just women's wear.
Gotcha. That makes sense. So far in your career, what has been your favorite project? Like, hands down, like, you know what? I smoked that. Like it was just so beautiful that, like, you always can refer back
There's
to
so
it. Like,
many. Like, one of the projects right now, well, not right now, but that we did in 2021 with a photographer, Nigerian photographer, videographer, actually, in New York.
Mm-hmm.
he hit me up randomly, and that's, and social media is good for that as well. He was like, I love your work, like, let's work together. I'm like, I was looking at his work, I'm like, yeah, like, let's do that. His name is CEO Jay Online, so if you're on Instagram, you can follow him. And he was like, I just want to shoot all your tool dresses.
Okay.
And I thought about it, I was like, wow, like, I haven't, like, I shot like some, but I've never shot like all at one time. So we did that. We were out in that Cold Girl for
so how many
hours.
Dresses did you shoot at one time?
I want to say it was like over 10. I think it was over 10
same
at the time.
Too, like,
yes,
oh,
yes,
okay.
It was beautiful. And now it's at the Newark Museum of Art.
Congratulations.
Thank
on
you.
That. I
so,
love that for you.
Thank you. So the three pieces that are in the exhibition, and then like they have the video of it. So it's funny, we were just talking about that today. I'm just like, how funny is God? Like 3 years ago we had no idea that this would even like
be a thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
that's what's up. That what would fun. You say has been the biggest struggle for you being a Black designer in this industry?
I think the struggle is opportunity. Like, I feel like
that.
A lot of us have to make our own opportunity.
Other you literally races, just said that. Yeah.
Other races, you know, oh, my friend is, you know, friends with somebody from J. Crew, or, you know, we go to the Hamptons or something. Like, they know there's somebody that they know.
I said, take us to the Hampton with them.
Yeah, but this, like, our other counterparts have people that they know and that can plug them in. And a lot of the times when it comes to us, sometimes I feel that it's like, we always say like, oh, you know, Black women this and Black women that. And Black women do support Black women. I'm not saying that we don't. But sometimes it's like, if I get in the room, then I'm going to be in the room by myself. I'm not going to bring somebody else with me that looks like me. And some of us do that and some of us don't. But I think opportunity has been an issue sometimes.
Okay.
Funding is another thing. I thank God that we're having, like, you know, more conversation about, you know, funding Black women and how Black women are the highest.
But are you seeing executions from all those conversations? Are you seeing any execution from those conversations? Because the conversation's already out there. We need this, we need that. But are you reaping any benefits from these conversations? Like, have you actually gotten anything from these conversations? Like, some of it, I'm not gonna lie to you, some of it I feel is slightly fluffed. Like, it's like, you know, we're about this, but it's like, what are you, who are you really helping in this? Because it seems like, and I ain't gonna name no names either, but a lot of organizations that say that they are for like diversity and inclusion and stuff like that are working with brands that are over here,
right?
It's not the emerging brands that are still trying to get there. So it's just like,
those are the
where
ones
is
that
your
need
target
help. Yeah, those are the ones that need help. Someone that's already at the top is like, great, everyone needs help,
right?
Don't get me wrong, but someone who's like, yo, like, I'm just trying to, like, get funding so I can get, like, a manufacturer or, you know, something. You don't
That's
know.
That's why we take payment plans at LC Affair. Yeah. So you're trying to help.
Yeah, like, you never know, like, how something small can just a foot in the door or just, like, a contact or just one thing that something small to you could be a blessing to somebody else. So, yeah, a lot of the, I would say, opportunities or things that I had to, like, you know,
you had to do them yourself. It's not like some of these organizations who say they are doing it, because I feel the same way. I feel like there are a lot that was like, we're gonna do this and we're gonna do that, but it's just like, okay, everything that I've done it on my own.
Right.
I built my own stage. I built my own table. I've had to do whatever I have to do, and, you know, try to bring people up as much as I can. But I think that what was that event that we were at when we were talking? I'm like, but when you sometimes you try to bring others up with you, it's challenging too.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yes,
and they're not ready. Yeah. I'm like,
because
that could be challenging.
Yeah.
What was the name of that event? Black and Fashion Council.
Yes.
It was
It was in Brooklyn.
It was in Brooklyn. So yeah. Dumbo House or something like that. And I'm like, I think that, and I'm hands down for thinking that there is no unity without community, but where do you draw that line? Is there like younger designers and emerging designers that reach out to you looking to you for help, and you just like don't have the capacity to do it, or you just like, well, you're not really ready because you ain't even done your due diligence on the base level stuff?
Right.
Like, has that happened?
I feel like I help as much as I can, like maybe words of encouragement, but I'm not in a space right now at this point in time where I feel like I could of course, like, take someone on my wing, like, get, you know, hey, this is what I did or whatever. I'm good for that. But as far as, like, as a teen just yet, I'm still in my building phase, believe it or not. And I think a lot of people are like, whoa, you've been doing this for a long time. And I was like, yeah, I'm still, like, getting my stuff in order. So when I do decide to bring on a team, it's like we're solid because the foundation has been built. But, yeah, I spoke to someone today. She was asking, like, oh, so, like, what did you do? And I'm very transparent. Like, listen, it's not going to be easy. I've heard a lot of no's. Mm-hmm. It's been a, you know, ghosting from people who say, mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'm going to help you, da-da-da, just email me. And it's quiet.
Quiet.
Yeah, and crickets. It's just like, but you told me to email you. You told me to reach out. And it's
I always required. Respond to my emails.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, I definitely help as much as I can. Mm-hmm. But I feel like once I'm, you know, get further, I definitely would help more. Because I know how, I didn't have someone to, like, hold my hand and say, okay, so we're going to do this now, mm-hmm. and then we're going to do this next. I just kind of went with the flow.
Okay.
And I'm not a go-with-the-flow person, but in this, I've really gone with the flow.
Yeah. I think I have to. It's just like, and I'm like, when you go with the flow, though, it just leads you in directions that you probably never even thought of.
Absolutely,
you know? Like,
yeah.
That's kind of what happens. So I have a segment that's called, Is a Success or Is a Disaster? Can you tell me about a time in your business where something went really, really bad, but you were able to learn something from the experience and it made you a better designer, better businesswoman?
Really bad.
Yeah, just went bad. It was like honestly, it made you be like, I won't do that shit again.
I think sometimes I put too much on my plate.
Okay.
I think I can do everything at one time. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's say one time I was supposed to, I think I had a wedding that weekend. And I think it was, like, miscommunication between me and the influencer and I at the time. Mm-hmm. I think she thought I was going to be in Maryland, like, at a set time. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't. I was on my way, but I wasn't there.
Gotcha. Okay.
So she ended up having to, like, push the shoot to, like, a later time. Mm-hmm. And I felt bad because, I mean, granted, like, we're cool or whatever, but I felt bad because she already had her hair, makeup, and all this stuff done and now had to reschedule a whole shoot because the communication on my end was maybe not as clear as I thought it should have been. Mm-hmm. So that could have gone south. But then I'm just, like, more, like, I can do this, I can't do that. And I just can't. Like, I'm not gonna kill myself to be, like, look at all the things that I can do and I'm being productive. It's like, no. Like, let's slow it down. Let's pull it back. Mm-hmm. So I would say that was a really bad experience for me. I was able to turn it around because I'm, like, quick to pivot. But, yeah, no. If I can't do something, I'm not doing it.
Absolutely. I feel that. So tell me a little bit, like, about how you go to a school like Parsons that is so, like, I would say, like, it's like, here, you know, and but then you come out of it, and it's because you said that your job is completely different from what you went to school for. So how can you go to a school like that and, like, I guess, have you ever gotten any feedback from places like you that you've applied to, like, that they ever said anything, or was it just like crickets too? Because it's just like, why I spend money, because I know Parsons is expensive as shit,
girl.
Spend all this money, and then, like, when you're trying to get that leg up in the industry, have you ever gotten any feedback? Has anybody ever said, like,
yes,
we require this, we want this? Like, what are they looking for that you,
so,
that you don't have?
So what I have been told multiple times, which is funny, and I think we had this discussion before, so I didn't go the natural route, right? Mm-hmm. Where I went to college. Well, I did go to college, but came home and did, like, an internship and do all of those things. And I also didn't go to college up here. So I was told that you have to start from the bottom. And I'm like, okay. And what does the bottom look like? The bottom is you being someone's fashion assistant, which is nothing wrong with that. Being someone's fashion assistant, you know, doing all, like, the grunt work. And then working your way up. However,
not when you got grown woman bills.
But wait, that's what I'm getting to, right?
Yeah.
So graduating from Tuskegee, coming home, had no game plan because my whole thing was I was going to SCAD. In my opinion, what I did was I still worked a shitty job, but I was going to fashion.
You ain't gonna be able to. I'm like, it is loud out there. You ain't gonna be able to hear it on the thing, but it's still just like,
yes,
damn.
Yes, yes, yes. It's a party that's going out there, I think.
Okay. I'm like, damn. Okay.
Music release or something like that. So, yeah, so I was working at a job. I was getting paid like $10.50 an hour. This was in 2011. But I still was going to a fashion school in Newark. A lady who graduated from FIT had a school, a sewing school there.
Oh,
so
nice.
I would go to school there. And a year later, I applied to Parsons. But at the same time, it's like, I don't come from this super rich family. So it's like, oh, yeah, girl, like, go ahead. Go do the internship. And we're going to give you money. And it's going to be great. It's like, no, like, you have this car. You have responsibilities. Like, you have to pay for things. So that was the route that I did. And even when I got into Parsons, the money still wasn't there, but it was all by faith, by me going to school. And I would leave, and I would leave Trenton, New Jersey, which is like South Jersey. So you're leaving South Jersey, was like 2 hours from New York. Mm-hmm. I would leave there, go to school, from school, stay, you know, have class, wouldn't get back home till like almost 11, 12 o'clock because I'm taking. Mm. So it's like when you're saying someone's bottom, like everyone's bottom doesn't look the same. Everyone's hustle doesn't look the same. And even when I wasn't in school, I still was sewing. I still was, you know, doing fashion shows and all this thing. So everyone's journey and story doesn't look the same. And just because my story or my scars don't look like yours doesn't mean that I didn't hustle to get to where I'm at.
Right. So why should you have to go backwards?
Right. I and it's not even backwards because I said it's not. I'm humble enough to be like, I can learn from a situation. Right. I am. But you can't negate all of the great things that's happened to me without me going that route. Like, my clothes now are in a museum.
Right.
And I didn't start from the bottom, like, the way that you're stating that I should have. Mm-hmm. So,
that's true.
You know what I mean?
No, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, when I moved here, I had to take that step back, too, because when I left Chicago, I was already a store manager. Mm-hmm. So, I was already at 60 or 70K. But then coming here and... The crazy thing is, like, I couldn't get a store manager role here. Mm-hmm. And then my store at the time where I was working, I didn't have a store here. So, like, I couldn't transfer. I worked for Akira Chicago. And I did. I had to go be a production assistant, make up significantly less, mm-hmm. but pay, like, way more in rent, which mm-hmm. I supplemented that income with, like, making prom dresses mm-hmm. and custom and stuff like that. But I worked my ass off, and I was tired as fuck. Mm-hmm. But I figured out a system to this shit. They don't check shit.
Yeah, you told me that.
They don't check shit. When I tell you,
you told me that.
I was like, I started just staying at places for like 3 months. 3 months, taking all the little programs that we doing and stuff like that, putting it on my resume. I literally went from a production assistant to a production manager growing like a year. Mm-hmm. So I was able to do it, but it's because I lied. Mm-hmm. I highlight heavy on my resume. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I was here all this time because it don't take a fucking year anyway.
You may have lied, but you had the work ethic to back it up.
To back it up, right? I'm just like, I mean, I don't have to do something for a year to know how to do it. I can do something for a month and I can figure it mm-hmm. out. And then some jobs I just combine together. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, well, I'm going to just knock that off my resume because I was only there for like 30 days, but I'm going to put all the job functions that I did for those 30 days underneath this job mm-hmm. or whatever. And that's mm-hmm. all I did was, so I'm like, I can't stay at the bottom that long when I have some grown woman because I've always lived alone. I'm like, girl, I ain't about to do that shit. Like,
listen.
I'm not doing it.
Some of us don't have sugar daddies and rich family members and all of that. Some of us really come from humble belongings. Humble beginnings. So it's really hustle. But again, everyone's hustle is going to look different. Everyone's story is going to look different. But you cannot take away from somebody because it doesn't look like yours.
Yeah. So I would say if you need to go ahead and work somewhere for like 30 days and then quit and just say you've been there for you. If you gotta do, you gotta do what you gotta do. Right, I did a whole episode on that. I literally looked right into the camera. I'm like, lie. Do what you gotta do to climb up because mm-hmm. a lot of those people that's in high positions, I know they lied because some of my bosses was dumb as shit.
Somebody that knows somebody.
Yeah, I had so many bosses that was slow though. I'm just like, now how you get this job?
They
and then you be doing their job for them too or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, oh no, either they knew somebody or they did the same thing I did. They lied on their resume, except I actually knew what I was doing when I got here. So thanks.
And you know, as a black woman, you have to work 10 times as hard just mm-hmm. to prove it. So
Yep. I never folded. I always was myself too. Like I ain't perform or nothing. I was, girl, you know, in production, it'd be one black girl. I was one black girl. Mm-hmm. Not white girls, girl, Asians. Mm-hmm. Because they want you to speak Mandarin mm-hmm. these days. I never spoke Mandarin, but I know how to run a production. Mm-hmm. Like I just always thought that was weird. Do you see that a lot on
Yes.
They want you to speak. You don't need to know how to speak fucking Mandarin to do production, but I see that all the time.
All the time.
Like, why does that even matter? Like mm-hmm. you can do overseas manufacturing without speaking Mandarin. Mm-hmm. So nowadays I just write yes. Swear to God. When LC wasn't doing that well, and I'm like, I need to go get a job. They say you speak Mandarin. Yep. Whatever you need me to say. I speak Cantonese. Yes. I speak Mandarin. Yes. Now, when they ask me that shit, Google Translate, they're going to be right here like, what the fuck did that say?
Yes. All
right, let me fix this.
Yes.
So before we wrap up, can you tell me, I have a segment called It's a Muse. So if you want to just throw out a mantra, an affirmation, anything that you just would want to inspire someone else or just want like another like designer on the rise to know, they kept kind of like pushing you for it.
Keep God first. And I know that may sound cliche, but it's very, those words short and sweet, but it's so much power behind that. Keep God first. You know, he's your business partner. I remember one day I went to a prayer service at church, and I was just talking to this lady, and she was like, consult with God. He's your business partner. And when she said that, I was like, girl, yes, I love that. So people aren't always going to believe in your craft or understand your passion, but you just have to believe in yourself and just bet on yourself. I mean, you could never lose when you bet on you.
You're right. I know that's right. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you just want to throw out all your social media handles, if there's any events that you have coming up, girl, spell out the address to the museum.
Oh.
In Newark.
Yes.
Where they can go and view your items as well.
So the Newark Museum of Art, however long is it going to be? It's from February 21st to June 2nd. I'm really excited. I'm like, this is the first opportunity that I've biggest opportunity so far in my career, and I'm just like still gagging about it. Mm-hmm. So you can go Monday through Saturday. It's open. I actually have a fashion show coming up at the North Museum on March 21st.
Yes.
So if you go on their website, you could be able to click the Eventbrite, and all that information is up there.
But all that information is going to be in the show notes as well. Yes. So you can just click from here.
Yes, perfect. I'm RR Fashionista. I've had that name since college, and I've just kept it. So 2 R's, Fashionista, 1 word. Everything Rouge, 2 R's. And everything in 2 R's and Rouge.com.
Love that. Well, thank you so much for
joining
me. Thank
you for having me.
As I always say, y'all, stay black. Peace out.
Period.